grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Welcome to episode 278 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. Our guest tonight is the man behind guitar on that track, the indomitable John Bowne from Daily News Collective, will be joining us this evening. Our topic is, of course, the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, the supposed girlfriend and also accomplice of the now dead Jeffrey Epstein. We've got tons of clips tonight, tons of great stuff. One of the first things that we actively want to play for you guys is John Bowne's new report that just came out. We love the reports that John Bowne sends to us here at Dudes and Beer and for the HC Universal Network. So let's check out his latest report here and see what he has to say before we bring him on the air.
Ghislaine Maxwell, the socialite who was more of a social disease to the powerful pedophiles she introduced to Jeffrey Epstein's surveillance blackmail shakedown, now awaits an arraignment and bail hearing in a Brooklyn, New York Metropolitan Detention Center that has been described as a third world hellhole. Cameron Lindsay, a former warden, said it is one of the most troubled facilities in the federal prison system and had a unique history of staff misconduct.
I was the warden at the Metropolitan Detention Center from the spring of 2007 to the late fall of 2009. So I was there for a little over 2.5 years as warden. So I'm very familiar with the facility. What I would have expected her to experience when she entered the facility was, first of all, she would have come in full restraints, which would have included leg irons, a belly chain to a hat to attach handcuffs, and the handcuffs will be attached to the belly chain to immobilize her hands.
Maxwell, who is supposedly monitored 24/7, was essentially given a paper bag to wear while her bedding was stripped to prevent any possibility of a suicide attempt. Ghislaine Maxwell's indictment specifically focuses on the years 1994 to 1997 as those when she facilitated and contributed to Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of minor girls by, among other things, helping Epstein to recruit, groom, and ultimately abuse victims known to Maxwell and Epstein to be under the age of 18.
Why did you keep going back if you didn't want to go back?
In 2005, an investigation started into Epstein for the sexual abuse of more than 40 young girls in Florida.
I don't know what to do. I was afraid that he was going to harm my family.
A culture of see-no-evil elites allowed Maxwell to continue to move amongst high places, as Breitbart reported. Ellen Powell, who gained infamy overseeing Reddit's lurch towards censorship during her brief tenure as CEO of the site in 2015, claims she knew Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein supplied underage girls as sex toys for the rich and powerful, and said nothing. And as The Sun reported, according to a reformed jewel thief who goes by the pseudonym William Steele, claims Epstein and Maxwell made him watch recorded videos to prove how they owned people. The footage included two high-profile U.S. politicians having sex with minors and two high society figures having a threesome with an underage girl. Steele also branded Maxwell a wild nymphomaniac who would try everything and anything in bed. Steele said, "When you're in a situation like that, you have to pretend to be non-judgmental, but it was shocking. I saw videos of very powerful people, celebrities, world figures, in those videos having sex, threesomes, even orgies with minors." And those that had breathed a sigh of relief after Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself in the federal facility in Manhattan are once again panicking, especially Prince Andrew, who, according to Christina Oxenberg, who is Prince Andrew's second cousin, claims that she was told by Maxwell that secret tapes exist of Prince Andrew's escapades that he has clumsily denied. But the evidence is stacking up, and Maxwell may have enough evidence on Prince Andrew and others to lighten her sentence.
In the subculture of jails and prisons, it would be a badge of honor for somebody another inmate to kill somebody like Miss Maxwell.
Currently, the morbid Vegas odds on the future of Ghislaine Maxwell are 3-1 right now that Maxwell will either have an accident or commit suicide. John Bound reporting.
Fellow citizens, we observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change.
John Bound, always bringing it home, always doing a great job. Man, I am so glad to have
Ghislaine Maxwell.
John Bound Politics as part of the network, to have him out there doing reports, out there really kind of scraping around in what's going on in the world. And please do not forget, everybody, while you're online, checking out the great reports of John Bound on YouTube, stop on by podcastcadet.com. That is our sponsor. They do everything involved with podcasting, one-on-one counseling, one-on-one sessions with podcast experts is what they provide for you. Stop on by today. Podcastcadet.com is the website. Dudes20 is the code that you want to use. All of our articles tonight are available on our episode post for Dudes and Beer. Go to dudesandbeer.com and you can click on tonight's episode, and you can see all the red links there, all of the news articles. There's a link to John Bound's video if you'd like to see that again. Stop on by, check all that out. We'll also be going through Epstein's Little Black Book in a little while. That is in the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault. So if you cruise over there to Knowledge Vault and then to Hacked Files, right now it is the only one in the Hacked Files section, folks. So welcome to the show, everybody. The indomitable, the amazing John Bound from Daily News Collective. How are you today, sir? John Bound Politics also.
You're too kind.
Well, I love you, brother.
I'm doing great. You're the force to be reckoned with. I mean, come on. You're a one-man industry.
I am something, that's for sure. Force to be reckoned with, I don't know. Let me get to the point of, like Jimmy Murdoch, much less Rupert Murdoch, and maybe we'll talk, all right? You know, like his like, crazy cousin Jimmy, that family kind of doesn't really talk about that much.
Oh,
they're
really?
Surprised okay. When he shows up, you know, like, oh, hey, Jimmy.
It's like Jimmy Carter's brother.
Yeah,
so they named
hey,
after.
Glad you heard about the party.
Great. Glad you heard about it.
We're gonna be hearing about so much weird stuff tonight. Oh, God. Jimmy.
<Love it. laughs>
Yes.
Here comes Jimmy.
That's me. Jimmy Murdoch, everybody.
Jimmy Murdoch. Jimmy.
Speaking of strange things, I have here in front of me a whole bunch of new books that I just dropped. But we've got some Real Magic by Dean Radin that we'll be reading, as well as Mysteries of the Talos Caves by Alex Chianetti. And probably my favorite arrival is Rise of the Red Dragon, the story of Chinese secret space program by Dr. Michael Sala. These are all people that we are actively courting and trying to get on the show, folks. So stop on by, check out
That's
those
great.
Books. Yeah, man.
Great. That's great. You're having more authors on.
It's you know me. It's insatiable. I can't not just like see a rabbit hole and get in it with a shovel, you know?
Right.
So whenever I talk to people like Mike Turber and he starts shaking hands with me with people and going like, hey, you should meet this guy. It's like, yes, let me go out and buy books. So
well, you're living the American dream, and I really respect that.
Well, every one of us should be, John. I know I'm happy that, like I said earlier, that you are part of the network, that you're out there helping us expose these things to get this stuff out there. Let's start kind of cracking the nut here of Ghislaine Maxwell and her association with Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, so as we all know, we'll just phrase this as if nobody knows at all anything about Ghislaine Maxwell. Mm. Ghislaine Maxwell comes from a major media magnate family, high profile socialite family in England. Her father died under mysterious circumstances. apparently fell over a boat and drowned. So she comes from that circle of the well-to-do and connected, and they live in this sick little bubble that has existed through a variety of avenues. Not just on the surface, the things that we see is her hobnobbing at parties and functions with celebrities, making connections with people within that world and always being at the right party and all that stuff. But below that surface, there is a network that she is connected to, that Jeffrey Epstein was connected to, because it's very questionable as to how Epstein actually amassed his fortune when he died, right before he, air quotes, killed himself. He left all of his money, made sure that none of his money would go to his victims, and gave it all to his brother. But how did he amass this? I may be wrong on this, but let me just check that real quick. But I believe when he died, he had $500 million left. But how did he amass this fortune? And if you watch the documentary on Netflix, which is very instrumental, I think, in actually bringing Ghislaine to trial.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how powerful the Fourth Estate is. It's the power of it. We kind of take it for granted, but there are horrible things that happen all the time that are just allowed to continue to happen, like the NXIVM cult, the latest thing with them and the daycares where they're brainwashing children. These things are just out in the open, happening in Miami, Florida. And until somebody like you or myself or somebody that's employed at the Guardian or so on and so forth gets involved, no one's going to hear about it. So the power of the Fourth Estate is very important.
Well,
it is the shovel you were talking about.
Well, yes and no. I mean, absolutely, there's good people out there.
Oh, and of course, the Fourth Estate is also incredibly evil.
Yes, so, there are people out there and good people out there in spades, with spades, working hard to dig things up. But for every one of those guys, there is five of them that will bury the story.
Sure. Yep.
There's five of them that when asked.
Just real quick, to all of the murders, 131%. Skyrocketing murder rate in New York City, These babies are being shot. People are being shot. Mm. Teenagers shot in Chicago, and no one's covering it. The mother that was just shot by Black Lives Matter for daring to say all lives matter to them. They shot her in the head. It's nowhere to be found. So yeah, the Fourth Estate also has that power to cover things up, and that has to end. We need to get all the truth out. Get everything out, shake it all out of the bag, and look at what's on the table.
Well, and that's kind of whenever my wife came in earlier, and I was like, "What do you think of the background video?" And I just for you, John, I know you're not a big Facebooker. Make sure to go join the Facebook video tonight so that we can share that around. But the video itself is a jail cell.
I have a Facebook at Daily News Collective, I believe still.
Yes, yeah. You do. It's a jail cell with an American flag waving in the background, Jeffrey Epstein's mugshot on one side, and then the picture, typical picture of him with his arm around Ghislaine at a party. So, like, and my wife was like, "The flag?" And I was like, "Yeah, because we allowed this. Our system, our existing system, not just the media, but our existing system of justice, where as long as you got the money, you can pay the fine."
Yeah.
Things like that.
I hate to veer off a little bit, but can I just add how the system is allowed? Two words, George Soros.
Well,
on the left, you bring that up and all of a sudden you're anti-Semitic or whatever. How dare you bring up anything negative about George Soros? And then on the right, there are attacks that go way beyond, they go into Conspiracyville about George Soros. We don't need to do that. Let's just meet in the middle. The guy just gave $220 million to equality in the United States for African Americans. You really think this Hungarian billionaire gives a crap about equality for African Americans? What he cares about is destruction of the United States.
So
we're allowing this to happen. Now I'll come back full circle when we get back.
Well, and that's just it. It's the fact that our justice system, and that's what we want to focus on tonight, is the fact that like in 2005 and earlier than 2005, there was credible enough evidence to put Jeffrey Epstein under surveillance, to implicate Ghislaine Maxwell for the first time, all this stuff. And it was literally friends of friends, money in a small community, things like that, that allowed this to happen. And that's what I'm talking about, is the institutionalized. My wife earlier was like, things like this is what will pop off a class war. Whenever you hear that, like, there's a billionaire out there with a private island and places like that where he is literally paying underage, underprivileged girls cash to take advantage of them, and it's just allowed to go on.
And I was right. He had a little over $500 million when he died, just adding that footnote.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing to me how, like I was saying, that this can just continue to go on, that he could get the slap on the wrist. Let's really start kind of exploring the relationship behind Epstein.
Well, you want to go through the timeline? Ghislaine.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so the timeline. So 2005, Virginia, who is his main victim, basically, the one that she's the one that is really spotlighted in the Netflix documentary. I think there are four other women too that,
yep.
By the way, if anyone hasn't seen that, I highly recommend it. But, so she reports the abuse to the police in Palm Beach. Okay. And then 2006, Epstein's charged with unlawful sex acts with a minor. And then a year later in 2007, he strikes a plea deal. And this is when it gets really obvious how our system really works, because instead of really sitting in a jail cell for 18 months for abusing a minor, And you know, the plea deal also made it so that he wasn't facing sex trafficking charges.
Yep.
He was only guilty of two charges of soliciting prostitution with a minor. But instead of sitting in that jail cell, he was allowed to go to a residence. I think he spent maybe a few hours in that jail cell, but it was basically house arrest. I mean, he had another property that he went to, and he also had girls coming in while he was supposedly in jail.
Yeah,
he was still doing what he was doing, you know, and that went all through 2008, 2009, and then we kind of didn't really hear anything about it until that Miami Herald expose. You remember when that came out? It was huge. And it was it was a ton of the victims from Miami. And that just blew everything wide open. That was at the end of 2018.
Yeah.
And there's just tons of women just came out. At least a dozen women came out, and they all had their own suits against him. And then the following year, he was arrested in New Jersey, getting off of his Learjet. And then, you know, that was in July of last year. And then by August, he was dead.
Yeah.
And then a year later, you know, Ghislaine, meanwhile, after he dies, Ghislaine is out there and is just randomly seen all over the United States. Now, how stupid a criminal are you? How arrogant, how untouchable do you think you are that I think she was seen at a burger place in L.A. just randomly by some people who took some pictures of her. She's sitting there eating a cheeseburger, you know, and then she's moving all around the country. And then this last place where she was picked up in New Hampshire, where she covered her cell phone with tinfoil.
Yeah.
And then she had these British goons who she had hired, probably went way back. I'm just assuming, I don't know, but she pulled these guys from England to protect her, and they kept the media away. But she hid in her room, you know, when the FBI came in.
Yep.
And it just the arrogance to buy a place in New Hampshire, and, you know, it's been a year. The Netflix thing, if I was her, once that Netflix thing came out, I would have been on the first plane to France.
I'd have been on the first plane anywhere.
Yeah, well, France doesn't extradite. And they actually had talked about there had been discussions during Epstein's arrest, and maybe even before that, of what they called the Roman Polanski plan. And so, you know, Roman Polanski was charged with raping a minor. And had to basically just stay in France because they couldn't extradite him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how stupid is she, or how arrogant, or how much evidence does she have that, I mean, what's in her mind that she thinks that I'm just going to do what I want to do because I'm walking around with all of this evidence. And now the evidence, the rumors of the evidence are beginning to mount. There was the cousin of Prince Andrew, who said that there are definitely sex tapes of Prince Andrew and with minors. And then there's the guy in the custodian on the island in the Netflix documentary who says that he absolutely saw Prince Andrew with, and he didn't realize it was Virginia Jeffrey until later, but that it must have been her. Because he saw a picture of her when she was younger, and he recognized her then. But he totally saw Prince Andrew with a minor. And then, you know, as you heard in that report, the bombshell report about this Steele character, this guy that they trusted because he was a renowned international jewel thief, you know, just their kind of guy, you know. And, you know, and so they wanted to impress him. And, you know, that whole article is really funny because he talks about how Ghislaine had this attitude towards the staff. You know, she always talked down to them, you know, because she's always lived in high society and thinks she's hot sauce. Don't need to use the bleep button there. I caught it. hot sauce. He said that she would occasionally try to talk down to him, and he would remind her what he was walking around with. He'd walk in there with a briefcase with probably a couple of Uzis in it and some stolen jewelry. And he'd say, "You don't talk down to me like that." So they respected this guy because they felt like he was one of them. And so they sit him down and they show him videotapes of one was from the 1960s, and it was a legendary rock star having sex with another man. And that may have just been some – I don't think that was theirs. I think that's part of their collection.
Sure,
and
sure.
And then the recent ones were, high political figures, celebrities, and it was like threesomes and orgies with minors. Oh. All on videotape that this guy had seen. And according to him, he also, the guy's a thief. So apparently he stole a few of those discs.
Uh-huh.
And he is willing to, more than willing to help the police out to, cause he apparently doesn't like Ghislaine at all. Didn't like either of them. Mm. He was there to sell his wares. They would buy,
sure.
They could afford jewelry, but they felt, because they're sick people, they felt it was they wanted to buy stolen jewelry to give to their sex slaves, so they would buy the stolen jewelry from him, and of course there's no honor among thieves. I mean, these people are, of course he didn't like them. They probably didn't like him either. They probably don't like themselves. I mean, how could you like yourself?
Well,
you're evil, sick. You know.
And you were talking earlier about like what kind of people can do this. This is directly from the beginning of the documentary, and this clip earlier was one of the things that dropped my wife's jaw when she heard it. This is his deposition.
Should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, ma'am. Would you please state your full name?
I'm Jeffrey Edward Epstein, and my residence address is 6100 Red Hook Boulevard in Virgin Islands.
Do you maintain any other residences presently?
I have vacation homes in New Mexico, Palm Beach, New York, and Paris.
Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Yes.
What was the crime of which you were convicted?
Two counts, one soliciting prostitution and procuring a minor for prostitution.
Did you in fact commit those acts?
I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment right.
How many times have you solicited a minor for prostitution?
Same answer.
How many times have you solicited a minor for prostitution in the state of Florida?
Same answer.
Have you ever solicited a minor for prostitution in the Virgin Islands?
Same answer.
That is indeed, you are invoking your Fifth Amendment.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, Mr.
Have you ever solicited for prostitution in New York?
Same answer.
Have you ever solicited for prostitution in New Mexico?
Same answer.
Have you ever solicited for prostitution in Paris?
Same answer.
Have you ever solicited a minor for prostitution anywhere at any time?
I'm giving them an assertive right.
And there you have it right there. I mean, that's just kind of a telling moment on tape as far as depositions go whenever any one of those questions, even the ones about the crimes of which he was convicted, still to plead the Fifth. And, of course, I mean, any good lawyer will tell you to do so. We know these things as of right now to be fact, correct?
I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment.
God, man, I couldn't have written that better.
No, I mean, the system is really, it really is set up for manipulation. You know, it's not when it comes down to dealing with evil criminals, with the criminally minded, it's just rife with the manipulation. I mean, you can, you know, there should be a way, since he was guilty of the crime of trafficking, or it wasn't trafficking, it was prostitution, soliciting prostitution from a minor. If he's already guilty, he should have to answer every single question around that. He shouldn't have to. I don't think the guy actually went into detail on that. The way our system works, if you're guilty of a crime, I think you shouldn't have to you shouldn't be able to invoke your Fifth Amendment. Once you're guilty, you should have to answer any question regarding that crime. But you know, the system is completely made for people like Jeffrey Epstein, people that want to take advantage of other people. And so it's just not a tough system anymore. It'd be something else if Jeffrey Epstein was like, oh yeah, oh man, I tell you what, boy, there's this one day I had these 10 minors, you know, and I mean, that's not going to happen. Of course he's going to invoke his Fifth Amendment, but, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that Jeffrey Epstein and people like him have used the system, the virtues of our system against us,
yep,
and in their own favor for, you know, eons,
yeah,
even before the United States was founded. But, you know, and that's what's so interesting, I think, that really ties into all of this. I don't think Netflix would do this documentary, but to really, maybe an Ancient Aliens producer would do it or something, but or maybe we should do it. But I think if you start looking at the thread, you start pulling on the thread on the sweater, you're going to find that the unraveling leads to a secret society network that has existed, you know, within that we've known about in the United States, at least since the early 1970s, when the John Birch Society, you know, sounded the alarm. But it's even older than that. I mean, the secret societies, look at his island. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture right now of the Egyptian style, Middle Eastern, style, like King Solomon looking temple,
yep,
building that he had on there. You know, and they've got all the symbolism of whether it be Luciferianism or Illuminati symbols,
yep,
or they're very proud of it. They flaunt it. Part of their whole culture is to flaunt it in front of the rest of us because we're all below them. You know, we're just peons. And, you know, I mean, and I'll just mention it real quick, but I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but, you know, the Red Shoe Society, the Red Shoe Club, you know, that's another,
that's probably
going to come up soon. But anyway, they flaunt their power, and I've kind of answered my own question about Ghislaine Maxwell,
you know,
and her arrogance.
You know, you can't just bring something like that up and walk away from it on this show, John Bowne. Society.
Okay, the Red Shoes. It's another. It's a Pizzagate rabbit hole thing. But it's been around for over a year. People have been looking at these pictures of. There's one picture in particular of a bunch of men who are surrounded by Podesta's brother, Podesta's older brother, who collects the artwork of children being abused.
Oh yeah,
and this sick dude, Podesta. There's a picture of him standing in a room with a bunch of other men, and they're all wearing red shoes, and this signifies that they are not only are they pedophiles, but they're what are called pedovores. And they wear the red shoes. It's pretty gruesome stuff, man.
Wow.
But But that's another example of them flaunting it in our face and saying, yes, this is what we do, and we're proud of it, and there's nothing you can do about it because we're rich and powerful.
Yeah.
And Ghislaine just, she went in there and tried to get bail and tried to get out due to COVID-19 and tried everything that that Epstein tried to do, where he said, I'll just go back to my home and, in New York, and you guys can monitor me there, you know. And he was a major flight risk. She is a major flight risk. I'm glad they kept her in. I'm glad they denied her bail. Apparently, like I said in the report, that prison in Brooklyn actually may be worse than the one in Manhattan. So yeah. If she winds up dead,
and
let me ask you that question: if she winds up dead, what does that say?
Well, and it's especially if they're in a different detention center, most definitely. That is one of those, what does that say? And like your report said, whenever she was first marched in, because she was in that detention center, then moved. Like the former warden said in your report, it's a strange thing to see a perp walk into such a high-level facility and just stroll in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Epstein just strolled in.
Ghislaine didn't. They had her in shackles. I mean, she got the full treatment, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. And
the people that are winding up dead, like this Steve Bing character, this guy that was big. He had inherited a bunch of money from his father and got into Hollywood and all that. And all of a sudden, it was a few weeks ago, he just fell off the side of it just fell to his death from his apartment in, I want to say L.A., but somewhere out in California. And, they initially said, he was sad about having to stay inside for COVID-19. The dude was a multimillionaire. I mean,
pretty sure he's got a pretty posh pad and is able to cope.
I doubt he was sad about that. And, I mean, come on. I mean, put a mask on and go out. You know, no one's that sad about it. You can get things done. You know, and it turns out now that his girlfriend, Steve Bing's last girlfriend, was urging him to expose one of his best friends, who just happened to be Jeffrey Epstein.
Well,
so, yeah.
And, whenever all this first started, John, we had you on to talk about stuff, but... episode 225, I had at the time, it was Billy Joe Kane, one of our regular guests, good friend of the show. Hey, Billy Joe, how you doing out there? From the Radical Empathy Education Foundation, as well as, Chong Kim, former human trafficking survivor, activist, things like that. And here's the clip from that. This is one of our many Dudes and Beer called it moments. But here's the clip from that night where we describe exactly what's going to happen.
Exactly what I posted whenever the indictment came down for Jeffrey Epstein was like, one of two things is going to happen. Either he is going to go full on state's evidence and spill on everybody. He's going to go Sammy the Bull Gravano. Who's in Uber Supermax prison. Like, that's the only way that he can not be killed or suicided is to be in Supermax as a federal witness. Yep. Like, as a federal witness, he's in that kind of protection. It's either that or he's going to get suicided in a jail cell. One of the two.
I have a feeling they're going to put him in isolation.
Yeah.
To keep him away from danger. However, exactly. But I have a feeling that we're going to hear the news that he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I bet you anything that suicide will be staged.
The minute that you hear, folks, and I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to call it, the second that you hear that he has been put on suicide watch, that he has entered a state of depression, that he doesn't know what to do, the rest of his life is over with these fraudulent charges, and he's put on suicide watch, watch out. That's when it happens. And
it's build the narrative.
It's exactly like you're saying. These judges, police, police departments, everybody is involved. That's exactly what I posted.
That was episode 225. We are now on episode 278. So that was quite a while back. Shortly after his first arrest. And I have held since that, and since the revelation later, whenever we had Billy Joe came back and things had happened and Epstein had killed himself. I have held since that time that Epstein is not dead. We've never seen a funeral. We've never seen a body. I hold to this day that he is in protective custody. If you remember the first reports coming out about Ghislaine before they took her in and everything else was that she'd been contacted and was talking about cooperating. And there were rumors flying around about that, articles flying around about it. And yeah, it's like now suddenly she's been brought in. She was brought in through the same facility and been moved out of said facility. So, for me, it's just one of those, I really think that we may be starting to see, regardless, a whole bunch, like you were saying, a whole bunch of this sweater starting to unravel.
Well, and you mentioned in that clip about a Supermax prison, you know, I'm out here in Colorado right now, we have the Supermax prison out here in Florence, Colorado, and mainly the biggest names that are in there are Al-Qaeda guys. But they've even had suicides there. I think they've had like 8 to 10 suicides in that Supermax. And of course, you know, suicides or murders happen all the time in prison. And they've said within this Brooklyn jail that they're trying to keep somebody with her at all times, that hopefully won't kill her. And then the previous warden, as was in the report, said it would be a badge of honor for someone to kill someone like Maxwell.
Yep.
So that, to me, that's real iffy right there. Like, what? How hard is it to put her in a room, you know, strip her of her clothes, keep her in the paper bag, feed her when you can? I mean, And keep all the lights on and turn them off when she's time to sleep. Let her sleep for 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And have some infrared camera on her, but have 360-degree cameras on her. Have nothing in there. I mean, how hard is that? Where are our taxpayer dollars going? Well, the problem is that the FBI went in to Jeffrey Epstein's residence in New York, and they grabbed all of this stuff.
Yeah,
and that's been 2 years that they've had that stuff, and we haven't heard anything about it. And now they go and get her, and she says, "Yeah, I have copies of a lot of the stuff that was in his residence in New York," and she's, ponying up to. There's talk that she may use it against. She may, you know, grab one of these out of the hat.
Yeah.
And say, okay, here's my offering. You let me off with a slap on the wrist, you know.
Well,
there's a lot of people sweating out there, and you have to think that there is at least one plot to get into that Brooklyn jail and take her out.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, especially I just popped up the Variety article talking about how Trump is connected to the dirty laundry hacks that happened regarding Epstein. There's all kind of people named. I am actively going right now to the Knowledge Vault to open up our file here so that we can check that out. If you go down to, if you go to dudesandbeer.com, everybody, go to the Knowledge Vault and then navigate down to Hack Documents. It is especially the only document in there right now under Hack Documents. I've got to migrate a few things over and put a few new items in. But this is the actual unredacted little black book of Jeffrey Epstein.
So I'm on the page now. So, oh, Knowledge Vault, gotcha. And then Hack Documents, gotcha. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And, I mean, names that it's... I'm not going to be zooming it in, anybody, because I don't want to be putting anybody's... Like, there are addresses in there. This is an unredacted document.
This is a great resource you have on here, by the way. You know, you've got Stargate, MK Ultra on here. Oh, yeah. Declassified UFOs.
Well, and that's the thing, John, is I don't like just talking about it. I want people to be able to have the information at their fingertip.
Yeah.
Look over it with me.
When did you start this Knowledge Vault?
Oh, God, man. Probably about 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah. This is super important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I find it an invaluable resource. It's one of those, like I said, if you don't believe that these things exist, if you don't believe that this stuff is out there, feel free to go to the Knowledge Vault. We're about to put a whole bunch of like warp drive documents in there, like PDFs on studies about warp drive technology.
I had not seen this black book yet, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This is great. And you've got him, this guy outlined, Brunel down here, Jean-Claude Brunel.
Yeah.
And he's next. He's going to be, they're going to have to pick him up. Because he's on the inside, he's a procurer as well.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure where his whereabouts are. More than likely, he's in France, and he's not going to be able to be extradited. And Prince Andrew, you know, they keep saying, "Hey, we need to talk to you over here in New York." And I mean that's an ongoing thing.
Oh my God,
Brunel is a part of the whole network.
On this document, what I'd never realized was at the top.
Did you circle around Brunel, or was that in there already?
That was in there already. That was in there already.
See, that's just how important it
is. Because this is part of court documents. This came out of actual unsealed court documents. But the one that's out there is way more redacted, like insanely more redacted. And this one is a fully unredacted version. And it's pretty wild. Like I said, it just dawned on me going through and looking at it. You can see up at the top on the image itself, you can see all of the bookmarks. You can see all of the book flags, dude, of like, hey, don't forget this page. Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Look at the stack of those book flags. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
And that's just it. It goes on and on and on and on. It's absolutely insane. And some of the names.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yep. I was going to say some of the names of note in there are people like Rupert Murdoch, people like Donald Trump, are people like, unfortunately, Chris Evans, like
Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell. I was like, Chris Evans, dude, Captain America, are you kidding me right now? And granted, folk, nothing about that says that these people are guilty. This is a court document. This was part of evidence that was put in there. It's just a black book that he had. But, I mean,
just to be, you know, guilt by association, it doesn't really.
A lot of these names also happen to match up with that Lolita Express, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, there are a lot of arrests right now in Germany too. So I'd be interested in how much, you know, how many of these are German and how they're related to what's happening in Germany. Cause there are massive arrests right now in Germany.
Yeah.
Cause Germany, we're just now coming to terms with the fact that Germany has a complete and total pedophile culture. Like it is, It's not something they've hidden, and it's something they've accepted for a long time. And unfortunately, the law doesn't accept it. There's Joan Rivers, man.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the names on that list keep going and going and going. You start seeing people like Chris Tucker, yeah. all there, kinds of celebrities.
There's a couple of Rothschilds.
All kind of people.
There's
in
some
tech.
Big Rothschilds right there.
All kinds That's, of people in tech. Yeah.
Evelyn de Rothschild. She's passed away, but that was the Rothschild. She was the big wine.
Yeah.
Connoisseur who she always wore she wore the Lucifer necklace proudly around her neck.
The Luciferian symbol.
And yeah, it was actually, she has one gold necklace where it's like his face. It's like the face.
Oh yeah,
of
the Baphomet.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, kind of to take that turn for just a minute, John, because there are so many things out there. I mean, of course, like we have said on this show numerous times, even with you on the show, rabbit-holing into Pizzagate is not necessarily things that I want to do.
But no.
One of the things that, if you remember, whenever all that stuff came out as part of the Podesta leak, as part of the DNC hack, supposedly... all that kind of stuff. It was strange that it was all addressed.
Right.
But it was never denied.
The main thing.
None of it was ever denied. It was like, look at all this crazy stuff in these emails.
Oh, well,
okay.
I mean, the weirdest part was what was happening with the band. That's the thing that really drove people nuts was the band singing about abusing children, and they're in a pizza place where they have children, and the band is singing about abusing children, and then all of the weird stuff with the pictures and Twitter and I'm sure with any kind of ghost story, if you get caught on seeing something. If it tell you the ghost story about the white lady in the woods, then eventually you're going to start imagining there's a ghostly white lady out in the woods,
Or you may paying more attention for a white lady in the woods.
Right. You might start paying attention for that. But the thing is it was too, it wasn't like with this Wayfair thing. Okay. Have you read about the Wayfair?
Well, go into it a little bit for the audience that may not have heard about it, John.
Well, the Wayfair scandal, there's going to be a lot of people that probably know a lot more than I do out there, but the Wayfair scandal is this scandal that basically revolves around this furniture company that is supposedly trafficking children and naming the furniture after these children that are being trafficked, and they've linked up the names with, and I haven't gone deep into it. For me, the red shoes thing is a lot more interesting and a lot more thought provoking. But all of these things are covered up by the debacle that was Pizzagate.
Yeah.
So now that these guys, this Red Shoes Society, they can go out and do whatever they want, and all they got to do is fling Pizzagate at us for being upset about the possibility. Yep. Why are these people celebrating sexually abusing children?
And
that's all we wanted to know.
And but, hey, don't get me wrong, the actions of some people. The actions,
right? The whole action of that guy that showed up and did what he did.
Even the people that may have inspired that.
I do not condone any of that.
Yeah, it's all bizarre. The whole thing is
the
crazy
whole episode
sauce.
Is bizarre, and it's such a debatable You know, the New York Times took the position that we were attacking this poor pizza shop owner. But the guy does have major ties to George Soros. Well, he's an insider within this network of people that are tied to, you know, through Hillary Clinton's lackey who was down there in Puerto Rico and Haiti, who got caught bringing children across the border and trying to traffic them in the United States. You know, we do know that right now, you know, everyone's out in the streets bitching and moaning about slavery that happened, you know, over 200 years ago. There's slavery happening right now.
In our backyards, absolutely. And
right now, get angry about that. Why don't you get angry about the people that are responsible for the child sex trade trade that's going on right now?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's actual slavery with slavery blocks still happening in North Africa.
Well, and
I mean, there's slavery happening. We do know that there are children trafficked all the time out of Mexico, you know,
there in Palm Beach.
Hillary Clinton was tied to this woman that was doing this, and then you've got the Nexium cult that's tied into this network of elites that's doing this stuff. And I mean, how many clues do we need?
Well, and the thing is, John, you can ask people like Chung Kim. It's the fact that you don't have to be like nabbed off the street and thrown into a crate to be human trafficked. Right. I travel, a few of the people that are on the feed right now are technicians like me that travel the country, and we see the signs in hotels all the time, in elevators. If you see something, say something. Like, if you see a young lady or a young man that looks like they're acting strange and like they don't know where they are, and, you know, like, say something. Be aware of human trafficking. It's finally starting to come to light. Finally.
Yeah, it's hard to see unless the children are really young. But, you know, when you've got teenagers involved, they're actually trying to make some kind of way in the world. You know, and a lot of these girls that were victimized, especially in Florida, the 40 that we know of in Florida.
Oh, it was way more than that.
It was way more than that.
It was way more than that.
But those girls were taken. Some of them were, you know, they were recruited by other girls that were like, some of them were homeless. But then these 14-year-old girls that were homeless would go into a high school and recruit, you know, some normal girl that comes from a middle-class family. And, you know, that's the way it works. And they're just trying to find their way in the world. And their first sexual experiences, they don't know anything. You know, and later, you know, 20 years later, they look back and they're like, good God, I was horribly abused, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It's what I'm saying is just it's a hard crime to see. But these people that are part of the network, part of this blackmail network, that whether they're participants or victims or, you know, willing participants due to the initiation of a secret society, like Chris Evans. I'm not saying anything. I'm just hypothesizing right here.
That one hurt, man.
But all I'm
like,
saying
it hurt.
Like,
it hurt the first time whenever we were talking, and it was Chris Tucker. But when Chris Evans came up, I was like, man, a part of me is hurt right now. Like, and it's just one of those. And granted, these are people that
you don't know. But we do know Chris Tucker was on the plane.
We do know that he was on the plane.
We know, and Chris Tucker's career is crap. So, you know, he had a few good movies, Friday and all that, and the guy's a real talented guy. But like his career, where is Chris Tucker? You know, and you know we know Chris Evans is just blowing up everywhere. So you would assume. You know, you try to put these things together and you know, we put all these hypotheses and theories together and they fall. Sometimes they just fall apart. But like you would assume that Chris Evans is in that book because he's part of the network and he's gotten to where he is because he's part of that network. But look at Chris Tucker.
Well,
he's flying around with a guy.
You know what's
and his career is in. I mean, he's washing dishes right now. As far as I know,
what's crazy, my friend, is you know, I'm a big fan of Corey Feldman. I loved his movies back in the day.
Oh, sure.
You know, some Generation iconic X movies, in there, Goonies, Lost Boys, things like that. But in addition, he has been tolling the bell for decades about pedophilia rings in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, I have reached out. If you're out there and you are listening, Corey Feldman, or anybody with connection or second degree connection to Corey Feldman, please feel free to reach out to me privately in a message, because I want to have him on the show to talk about his documentary and how it even lines up with this, and names that are on this list over here. From Jeffrey Epstein and people that he talks about and the circles that he talks about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's all to really understand what's happening. You have to understand the history of secret societies throughout, you know, Western civilization from the past. I mean, it goes all the way back to King Solomon's Temple. It probably goes before that, but when it really started to pick up was when the whole Jacobin thing happened, and secret societies split off. And then there are secret societies that got into very, orgiastic ritualization, sex magic. And then you add occultism into it. And that's what if you're a multimillionaire, billionaire, most multimillionaires and billionaires are just fine with, you know, having ribs and drinking beer and watching football. And, you know, but there's a select few that have been, and Ghislaine Maxwell, namely, being one of them, that's been raised up within this culture, that she's not, you know, she didn't create, this culture, this secret society culture has been around for a long time. And it's been funneled through the years into what it is now, and it's become this network where Epstein was a chief of, where in order to become a part of this network, you get a glimpse of, hey, look behind the curtain here. This is what we really do with our time. Doesn't this look fun? You know, we live in paradise. Look. You know, there's a group of, you know, middle-aged men, or, you know, men in their 60s are all billionaires, and they're all carousing around with, you know, minors and stuff. And I guess if you want, you know, the other part about secret societies is in order for you to get into these certain areas upon planet Earth where, you know, you can rise in success and so on, then you have to join these networks, and, you know, maybe you can just bite the bullet, you know, and do some of these things and be blackmailed, and now you're going to be part of this upper society. And she's this kind of she's like the maitre d', you know.
She was most definitely the front desk clerk.
Yeah, she's she's the hostess.
Did you bring your paperwork?
With the mostess, you know. Yeah.
Do you have a reservation?
Do you have a reservation?
And exactly. Our listener, Brian Siegel.
Sorry, you're not on the list. It's that simple.
Our listener, Brian Siegel, who was actually in our cryptozoology episode I'm trying to remember his name offhand, Craig Woolheater. He just asked a question on our Facebook feed. What does this guy have to say about the Wayfair?
You just beep yourself?
I did just beep myself because I told you I added a beep just in case. So I beat myself just for Brian out there. That's for you, buddy. but what do you have to say about the Wayfair, John? Because it definitely is one of those, like, I've got the Business Insider article up right now about it.
It's weird. The main thing about the Wayfair thing is that the furniture was marked up. And, you know, like you had a little cabinet there and it was worth $14,000 and it was just the perfect size to stick a 7-year-old girl in and ship somewhere. And, you know, and so that's how that all started. But you know what? Until, especially what I've been through with Pizzagate, until until you show me the cabinet with the girl in it and the person receiving it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just start, you know, mixing these theories together.
Yeah.
You know, and the beautiful thing about Ghislaine's arrest and Epstein's arrest is that this is real. This is real.
Yes. Yeah. Precisely.
And it's just as bad as the Wayfair thing, if not more. And the thing is, you know, she's probably going to get iced, man. And they're going to keep a lid on this humongous secret society that's out there that does prey on children. And they totally exist. They totally exist.
Yes. Yes, they do, John. And, you know, I mean, now granted, there's the whole secret society aspect that goes into the adrenochrome hypothesis with Illuminati, yeah. Things like that. And Brian Siegel just chimed in again. Wouldn't it be real easy to find out if someone just orders a $15 cabinet and see if it's real?
Right.
You know. Yeah. And hey, let's do an unboxing and see what's in the cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, more power. That's the thing is, like, why are we, you know, why are we having to, you know, the FBI goes in and there are people in the FBI that know,
yeah.
They go home every night and they know, they've seen those tapes that were in Epstein's house and they know all of the celebrities that are involved in them. They know everything. And we don't know, as the public, we don't know anything. Why is it us? Why do we have to do all of the research? You know, and I applaud the people. I'm not criticizing this Wayfair thing, but that's what our system has become. Even if we did discover a girl inside of a Wayfair cabinet and the FBI came and arrested that one person,
and
nothing else would happen.
And just
that's what we need. What we need to.
It looked like the Blues Brothers if one of us was on trial for this.
Yeah.
Like, hop. Like there'd be people coming out of the woodwork. It wouldn't take months on end to bring someone in. Like you said, it's not like she was hiding. She was living a pretty public life.
I think she knows. To me, what that says that she didn't, like, as soon as Epstein killed himself.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you get your French. You know, she's a French citizen, a UK citizen, and a US citizen.
Yeah.
And she chose to stay here.
And he, of course, had his dubious ties to Saudi Arabian money.
Oh, yeah. And Mossad.
All kinds of things. In addition to that, if you hop over once again, folks, to tonight's episode post on dudesandbeer.com, where you see the little link in the article that says the vault, there's one that talks about Epstein's vault on his island, and it actively opens up the FBI records for Jeffrey Epstein and things that they found in his vault.
Yeah.
And there's a long list of documentation there. I did not go through the effort yet. I will be downloading them all and adding them to the Knowledge Vault, folks.
Wow.
But yeah, there you go, I wanted y'all to have access to these Because, yeah, they are like full on documents from the FBI that have been released on the case. And it gets into some nitty gritty. It really does.
Total deleted pages, 258.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's highly redacted.
Horribly redacted.
But yeah, it's good stuff. But, you know, they're.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the FBI working for this group of elites. You know, at what point, you know, in the upper echelon, obviously, of the FBI, Comey, they work for the elites. But it's we've got two justice systems in this country, and you know.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, the Jeffrey Epstein case, if anything, it just what happened in Florida alone with his case.
Yeah.
Proves the fact of if you are well-to-do enough, you will not do major time for a major, major crime.
Right. And the investigation, I mean, they had all of those like, girls were coming in and saying they had been victimized.
And they were turned into, they
were the guilty party. They made those girls feel, you know, which is a pretty common tactic, actually, that they're making it up and blah, blah, blah. And so they all sided with this monster, this predator that we know for sure that's what he was. And I mean, looking back, you know,
that was a minute and a quarter, and that was just where they stopped the film. Because at one point his lawyer goes, "All right, we're done here," and he just takes the microphone off. But that was like a minute straight up of "I'll plead the fifth." Same answer. Yeah. You know, to numerous versions of the same question regarding different locations, different places. And yeah, it's one of those. I don't think that there is a question out there hovering amongst any group, except for maybe some elites that were friends that might be in that document that we have up on screen. That might be about it. Who say, yeah, he's not guilty. By all evidence that's just there right now, by the past convictions.
The system with Alexander Acosta, who resigned this time last year, actually, almost to the day. He was our labor secretary. He's the guy that represented Epstein in Florida. The corrupt system that we're the two-tiered system was just going to just roll on until, you know, that Miami Herald expose came out, and until there was enough scrutiny from the press that, you know, okay, well, maybe Alexander Acosta being connected to the Trump administration isn't such a good thing after all. But had no one said anything about it, he'd still be our labor secretary.
Yep. You know? And I'm just kind of going through things here.
Whole system is whack, man. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is. It's and whack. It's loaded.
It's whack. And it works. If you've got $1 billion, it works for you. And if you don't, then you're just a number and a cog in the wheel. And we don't give a damn what happens to you.
Well, and that's just it. You know,
there's no justice.
That's what my wife was saying. If anything is going to kick off a class war in America, it's the fact that when people start finding out that people of this ilk, people, when you start going through folks, it's like Harvard scientists. You remember hearing about like the 20 major scientists that were worried whenever he was arrested because of their connection with him? The tendrils go so deep. The connections go into everything.
Well, and my curiosity about Epstein is, you know, it's almost like we've been saturated with Epstein, and we feel like we know everything about him. We barely know anything.
Yeah.
And you know, and the actual groups that he was tied to, they're worldwide, And just how deep and dark does it go? I mean, they're kind of giving us a mulligan on, okay, yeah, he had, you know, minor females, and yeah, look at this sideshow. But what he's connected to is far more gruesome.
No, that's just it. It is it's a hydra waiting to happen, man. And yeah. And once, like you've said earlier, once we start unraveling the sweater, there's no keeping it together.
But they're shooting bullet holes in that sweater.
they're doing their best.
Yeah.
You know, and personally, I need to really check what the odds are in Vegas for Epstein still being alive.
Oh, okay. Well,
because I need to put some money down on that. Because I'm pretty certain that he is still alive. Like I said,
that's probably a tight bet, man.
I'm sure that he is sitting there waiting his turn and waiting his day in court to point fingers and reveal stuff. Because, like I said earlier, we've seen no funeral.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen nothing.
They chucked him over the side of a ship, man. Like the rest of it. Due to his Muslim beliefs.
Yeah. In respect for his religious beliefs, yeah.
Well, apparently Mike Adams agrees with you. Where is Epstein? Yeah.
Mike Adams.
Yeah, Mike Adams of Natural News. He did a report on it, too, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I'm kind of running through this real quick. He's talking about the hyoid bone, and, you know, that it had to have been killed, murdered. He says if the establishment wants you to think Jeffrey Epstein's dead, it's only because he isn't dead. He's still alive, and he's obviously been moved to another location to be grilled by the people who now have him. The only real question is who carried out the body swap. So yeah, that's what Mike Adams is saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's, you know, like I said, him turning state's evidence, him cooperating, rings a lot of bells as to why he would be walked in there since perp walk.
So the theory is that he was rescued and his testimony could be secured to help bring down the deep state. He can name names. He no doubt has elaborate records and video files showing the world's powerful elite having sex with underage girls or boys.
Yep.
A clever blackmailer like Epstein would have obviously made multiple copies of this evidence and hidden those in many locations, probably connected to a dead man switch, and would release if he doesn't check in from time to time. So, and then he goes into how you set this up with a decryption key and... His theory is that either Trump operatives switched him out, faked the autopsy and all that in order to have him as a, something to take down the deep state as a secret weapon. They've got him somewhere else. And then Clinton operatives, he's saying that they grabbed him and they switched him out and they torture him to reset his dead man switch every 48 hours or so. They're just constantly torturing him right now.
Now, I don't go that far.
I don't go that far,
but there is a lot there that points to being spirited away into the program.
Well, he's giving. I'd been looking for the odds, and he's saying that the odds of him being alive are 70-30.
So, I'm talking about Vegas odds, though, not Mike Adams odds.
Yeah, so he's basically saying more or less 2-1.
I love you, John Bowne, but did you just compare me to Mike Adams?
No. This is just what I.
He's great.
And,
he is a great guy. He's fantastic,
Mike
folks.
Nothing against Mike Adams. I hadn't seen this until now.
Me neither.
And he's the only one with these theories about him being alive that I've seen.
Okay. So, well, and I've been putting it out there on this show the whole time. He is still fully alive. He's out there.
When I first saw the picture, I guess this is how my mind works from having been, you know, in the industry that I'm in for so long. But when I saw the first picture of him on the cooling board, as they call it, in the dirty South, and they're wheeling him into the ambulance, I thought, well, that's a nice looking wax figure.
That's one damn looking likeness.
Yeah, that's pretty good wax figure work, man. I mean, you could throw a wax figure of Elvis on a gurney and say, we just found Elvis, and take a picture of it, and people would believe it, you know?
Well, and, you know, there was a whole Fox special with footage from Roswell.
Let's not forget that.
And, you know, things can be
faked all
day
long. That was a lot better than Geraldo's... Al Capone vault.
The thing is, that wasn't faked.
Yeah, you're right.
It was much more riveting because it was scripted, you see? All they did was clear some dust and go, well, damn, I guess there's nothing in there, folks.
Roswell's really interesting. Of course, we don't have any time for that, but I go through Roswell twice a year now, And so I know exactly where the UFO crashed. It's actually nowhere near Roswell. It's about 75 miles northwest of Roswell. But Roswell was the military area, as they brought it to and all that. But the thing about Roswell, the faking of it, it was when they actually played it. I remember waiting for that and seeing the trailers. And if you see snippets of something and you do enough editing magic to it, it's like, you know, they just throw it at you for a second, you know, then that really piques your interest. And so if you've got a second snapshot of Epstein on a stretcher getting into an ambulance, it's a lot like those alien autopsies. Cause then once they played, you know, I'd like to see the video of them bringing him out. That's what I'd like to see. Is there video of them bringing him out? There's got to be video of them bringing him out. I've never seen it, but it's comparable to the Roswell thing, because once you saw the presentation of the alien autopsy, it was like, oh, my God, this is so fake.
Well, and, you know, that's just it. But these things follow exactly the kind of stuff that they do. It's the same kind of stuff that they did with Sammy Gravano before that, and if I'm not mistaken, it is the facility right down the road from you that you were talking about that he's at, and you know he did the exact same thing in order to help bring down the mafia years ago
in Florence.
It's not unheard of for them to so to speak disappear somebody. The man involved, much like Sammy, they're like, hey, we're definitely going to make it easy on you. You know, we're going to put you into a pretty cush supermax and make sure that like nothing happens to you and stuff. Like, it's going to suck because you're going to spend 23 hours a day by yourself.
I just think Ghislaine's behavior is so suspicious. I don't believe that she is that stupid. I can't believe that she would be that stupid that she would just sit around in the United States. Maybe she is. I mean, if you're wrapping aluminum foil around your cell phone because you think that's going to, you know, hide you from the FBI, then maybe you are stupid. But to be under this much pressure and to be sitting there eating a cheeseburger at an LA fast food restaurant and at some point you're going to go, you know, they don't extradite in France, and you've already discussed the whole Roman Polanski thing with Epstein.
Yeah, the Polanski option.
The Polanski option. So, I mean, at some point, you're going to get on a plane and go to France and stay there for the rest of your natural life. But
she didn't.
And so
Ghislaine has really pleaded not guilty. She has nothing to run from, John. She's pleaded not guilty. And granted, in our American court system, folks, as much as we're talking here, everything else, every American is innocent until proven guilty. So we do have to kind of horribly give her the benefit of the doubt. Now, granted, at worst case scenario, it quite literally is the fact of...
Even though she's guilty as hell.
Well, I'm sorry. Even though you're guilty as hell, Ghislaine.
I mean, she's got 40 women right now all testifying to how she completely manipulated all of them into being abused. I mean, come on, man. Well, we're not talking about one or two people here.
No. Absolutely. And people who are concurrent saying, yes, they were this girl who you're talking about recruited me. there's definitely that evidence there. But until it sees its day in court, until it sees a trial, she is innocent until proven guilty. We have to say the purported procurer of underage women. Like that. So, and that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. What's important, like I was saying, is the fact that her pleading not guilty ties in directly to her.
Look at that, man. I'm just sitting here going through the black book and, there's David Rockefeller, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, man. Who
Michael
was
Ovitz. I mean, some of these people that are circled. Dershowitz, he's got a ton of numbers. I mean, that's the thing about Dershowitz, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also been called out as being, you know, he's up there with Prince Andrew. I mean, he's got girls saying that for sure.
Well, and that's just it. Prince Andrew, like, abdicated. Like, he left.
Yeah.
He left his royalty behind because of all this. So you can definitely, right there is, like he was saying, Evelyn de Rothschild, Edward de Rothschild.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of people in the black book that are there.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Evelyn de Rothschild is Alec. I was sent out to under contract, sent out to the wine area of California, and to investigate these rumors that the Rothschild Winery was connected to other wineries through a tunnel system. And you go to the Rothschild Winery, and there's a certain part of that. It continues to go down, and then it's blocked off from you. And of course, you could say, well, that's where they keep the wine. They don't want you down there. But most wineries are, you know, I grew up partly in upstate New York in the wine area, and they're just wide open for you to explore, and people will help you. This place was locked down like Fort Knox.
Well, the question would be for me, John, was the neighboring winery that it was supposedly connected to locked down like Fort Knox as well?
Yeah, it sure was.
And the one next to that?
Didn't get to the one next to that. But
were there a lot of supposed, quote, winos in the area that they may have to protect the wine from?
Just being devil's advocate.
I don't like liquor. I just like my wine.
Nothing but there are no winos in that area.
Not a lot of tramps.
Rich winos.
Not a lot of. Not no, a lot of. No. Or,
no.
mid-1920s nope. Depression era tramps rolling through.
I didn't see Boxcar Willie anywhere.
No? Okay. Okay.
Remember Boxcar Willie? Oh man!
But and it's horrible to make light of this stuff, folks. But at some point, it literally does.
Opus One Winery. It if you dig into that, if anybody out there wants to dig into something really bizarre, you can dig into the symbolism around Opus One Winery and the Luciferianism and Satanism and stuff, and you know the fact that it is tied to Evelyn de Rothschild. I mean, it's just one little trail that takes you through this network of these elite, and you know you can look her up. She's gone now; went straight to hell, probably. Yeah. But you know, and. All I mean, that's just one little trail that can take you through what these people are really about, and you know, supposedly at Opus One, they like to brag that they're I forget the terminology exactly, but they would brag that their red wine was thick with, and they're insinuating it was thick with blood.
Oh,
you know, and that's what they're into. You know, I mean. They would openly brag that their wine tasted of blood because it had real human blood in it.
Oh, so okay.
That was one of the things that they.
We are not sponsored by Opus Winery.
It was a joke. They were advertising it that way, but it was something they would just laugh about amongst themselves as they sipped it. You know,
yeah.
Tastes like blood. Yeah.
Well, and those are some of the, like you said, wild things that you really start getting into and branching off into once you start widening rabbit holes and traveling down them and going down them, folks.
Yeah, it's not making – you're not making this stuff up. You're just confronted with – that's yeah. not normal.
Well, you know? And I mean, now you got
to
sort –
I should be able to go to Opus One Winery and go, okay, there's nothing going on here. But – you don't get that vibe when you go there. You get this feeling like, this place is creepy as hell, man. You know?
Well, and like I said, for these things, it can get a little strange sometimes whenever you're investigating, whenever you're going through stuff. And you really do have to start looking at things through different eyes. And you have to start being a lot more critical. Like you said, you're much more careful than you might would have been at one point.
I mean, well, one of the main shields I have is I always give the benefit of the doubt because I don't want to be caught, you know, and I don't want to go overboard.
Mm.
But when things start piling up, you know, you got to say to yourself, okay, well, I've stumbled on another nest, you know.
Yep.
And then you go on about your way, you know. But and you're not able to really see, you know. When I see Luciferian or Illuminati symbolism, I know what it is now. It's not, you know, it's nothing's hidden anymore. And that's the thing about the Illuminati is, and secret societies. Everything was supposed to be hidden, but they've made it, you know, secret societies, because they were persecuted the way they were by the Catholic Church, you know, they've had to remain secret. But it's almost as if they've reached a point in our history where they're finally just coming out of the dark, coming out of the closet. And they're saying, here we are. We're evil, child-raping, killing bastards, and we love it. And we've been doing it. We've been doing it for over 100 years, and by the way, we own everything, and we own you, and you know,
yeah, it's you know, it's a strange road to walk, John, because I've definitely had people reach out to me, in various communities, like the targeted individual community. I've had a couple of people that I've chatted with who claim to have been victims of these things that you were talking about. Not necessarily Jeffrey Epstein, but secret societies, secret orders, and whenever we had Dr. Pence on,
that's so great that you've dug into that.
Whenever we had Dr. Pence on, one of the things he said that I recall is after 30 years of investigating and teaching about secret societies, I don't believe anything anymore. And I'm willing to accept that it may very well be. Because yeah, history is a strange thing. It's a weird bird. It's written by so few people, and so often it is not that way. Once we start going through things, and I really think that once we, as a society, start having this uncomfortable conversation, start being willing to have the uncomfortable conversation of why does a criminal system in a country like ours support someone like Jeffrey Epstein? Why is it made to where, and thank God, you know, even though Ghislaine has said that she is not guilty, they have also decided to keep her behind bars. They have also decided to deny her bail because of her ease of travel, things like that. So hopefully we will find things
let me
out.
Can I just say it and
do it.
Mark the time?
Throw it out there.
Something very strange is about to happen with her. There's going to be a switcheroo. There's going to be a... she could be moved somewhere, and within the process, something happens to her. You know, I mean, look at all the way they used to do it, where, you know, someone, you know, a politician is walking down a hallway. Bobby Kennedy's walking through a kitchen. He gets shot twice in the back, and Sirhan, who's in front of him, is the one that's nabbed for the crime. I mean, they can have her being moved.
And they
can get some MK Ultra person to go in there and shoot her, and they can make sure that she gets taken out from, you know.
And that is a whole issue in and of itself, and episode that I definitely want to do. My God, if I could ever get attached to Robert Kennedy Jr. and have him on, because
he's great, man.
Actively spoke with Sirhan Sirhan.
Thank God, there's still a Kennedy out there. True to form, you know?
Like, all of a couple years ago, he went and spent hours with Sirhan Sirhan.
Mm-hmm.
And came out with this bomb interview that was like, I believe him.
Yeah.
Everything that he says, I believe the fact that he does not remember killing my father and that he was a part of something like this.
Right. Well, he was in a trance state.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is just like John was saying, one of those things that hopefully we will get some answers with. Hopefully nothing hokey, nothing crazy will happen to Ghislaine before we get to actively get some answers, at least about Jeffrey.
My main point about Ghislaine is that she represents a parallel reality that she lives in. She doesn't live in our reality. She exists in a parallel civilization, a parallel culture that has existed through the history of secret societies and the elite that has gone untouched for a very long time, and they've gotten into all their proclivities, and they're arrogant and stupid enough to actually feel like they've made the planet evil enough to allow themselves a place in this world so that they can exist, so they don't have to hide in the shadows anymore. That's who she represents. And, you know, our civilization is getting darker and darker. It is getting eviler. There are people out there that will take advantage of the system, and they're more than happy to prey on you or me or anybody else that's unsuspecting or unwilling or unknowing about fighting back. And when we see our our authorities like the FBI breaking down and our police are being defunded and you know, and we're not the caretakers of our law and order and our civilization are just part of the problem, then it's only going to get weirder and darker from here on out. And
yeah,
I mean, that's the horrible news right there.
Well, but the horrible,
it's going to take a lot more people out there to fight back, and people need to be ready to fight back. We need to stop just sitting around and being spectators. Go find something. If there's nothing happening in your life, go find somebody that is being manipulated by some evil person that's using the system against, and help them.
Yeah.
Go help somebody. Go be a part of something that's the right thing. Just go be a part of something that's the right thing. We can't just continue to sit around and spectate and try to put pieces of the puzzle together. We've got to be activists. And
yeah,
that's something that there's a lot more of us than there are of them, but we're not activists. We're not organized. And well, they are so organized.
Well, yes. And, yes, they are, John. But if
and funded.
If history should teach us and make us remember anything, our country was facing a very, very organized government, a very, very well-funded government. The actions of very few people, less than 20% of people, the heave-ho of about 15% of the populace in the United States won our independence and overcame that beast that was the burden on our back. We can do this. We can make it happen. Like, it can happen. We just have to remember that all we need is that small percent of devoted people. That's all we need. We need that small percent of people who are devoted enough to making a change to say, you know what? I will do this. There's a reason why this show has gone the way it's gone over the last many years, and that's because I started receiving emails from targeted individuals on my website. I started receiving emails from people, and I was like, I can't just, as much as I love just sitting around a table and talking, I've got to talk to people that are out there trying to bring disclosure out, trying to bring these fringe topics to the front, because they are not fun conversations. They are not necessarily like enjoyable conversations. They are uncomfortable. I don't like sitting here talking about human trafficking in my backyard, but it's going on.
If only the conversation we have before we go on air was what the conversation we had, you know, for an hour and a half or whatever. I mean, we're just talking about,
how's your family, just, man? How's life? Yeah, you know, like, hey, yeah, you making any music? You know,
right. I wish we lived in a world where that's all we needed to talk about.
Amen, you know? John. Amen.
But unfortunately, it's we have to keep. And you are a super fighter, man. You get up every day and you keep the fight going. And it takes the fight in you. And that's that small percentage that won the Revolutionary War. Those people got up and fought.
That's
and
right.
They slept with one eye open. You know, and so they're ready to fight it at all times. And we are reaching this point where it's become so dire in our country.
Yeah, it's desperate, man. It's desperate.
That I think it is awakening. You know, they always say the sleeping giant, but I think in a less dramatic, poetic fashion, it's just awakening the average person who believes in morality and, you know, believes in being a good citizen and just believes in, you know, just the simple ethic of, you know, not hurting anyone and not allowing anyone to hurt them. I mean,
well, and
but there's a lot of people out there that really want to hurt other people.
There
and
are.
That's what we're seeing is this uptick in this desire through ignorance to somehow validate that it's okay for you to, like this cerebral palsy guy they just ripped out of a car who's trying to drive through this protest.
Yeah.
They destroy this guy's car and he's got cerebral palsy and they rip him out of the car, start beating on him. Yeah. And I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Really? What has that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shooting a mother of a 3-year-old, a young mother of a 3-year-old, because she said all lives matter, which is the message that Martin Luther King had. You know, I mean,
we've definitely hit a point in our society where many, many people are like the good host on network where they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore.
I think it's always generational.
Sure.
And I've got a real big problem with my little brothers and sisters in the millennial generation. There are a lot of good millennials out there that feel the same way I do. So I'm not attacking you and they're very knowledgeable, but you know, I'm speaking to the knowledgeable millennials. You know, your generation is effed up, man.
And we aren't trying to politicize anything in this episode.
I think you know, the normal way that an insect goes, you know, through its stages of life and then eventually becomes an adult.
Yeah.
I think the millennial generation, that part where you become an adult has been stunted. I mean, you reach 30 years old and you're ripping a guy with cerebral palsy out of his car. You're not an adult, man.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. You're a child.
Well, and you know, like I said,
we need to be spanked.
We as a society, people forget the fact that we're still extraordinarily young.
Yeah.
Here in America, this experiment, this social experiment, as our founding fathers called it, is still extraordinarily young in the scope of humanity and in the scope of learning. It's very interesting to still see many, many of the issues brought up by the founding fathers are regularly brought up still, that we are still facing them today. The question is, like I said, amongst that small slice of the public that it takes, that dedicated slice, are you that? Are you willing? And this is not a call to violence, people. But this is a call to action and a call to social action and a call to personal action and a call to personal accountability. Are you ready? Are you ready for that shift? Are you ready to make that personal change? And are you ready to to stand up and say no longer will we allow people like Jeffrey Epstein to pay money and make money off of our children? No longer will we allow these things to happen in our society. And first, in order to do that, we have to have the uncomfortable conversation. We've got to look it in the face and we've got to stand up and we've got to say, yes, it's there. It exists. Mm-hmm. And there's still a big part of that for doing, John, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, let me throw this little nugget out because the show is about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah.
And I just want to predict, you know, in the next week or so, somebody that's in that black book is Chrissy Teigen.
Yep.
And she's a horrible person. but she was recently bragging about how she would eat a human. She was asking this other chef, how would he eat human? Would he be, if it was okay, if he was in a country where they accepted cannibalism, would he eat human? And he was like, no. She's like, well, I would, you know? And so she's in that little black book and, she's now deleted 60,000 tweets and saying that it's a giant conspiracy theory against her, that she's connected to Jeffrey Epstein. So, I'm just predicting in the next week or so, she's gonna be tied into this whole thing. You couldn't ask for a more horrible person to be tied into it. I mean, I don't even, I don't even get. She's not even attractive, man.
Well, and you know the.
I don't understand why she's like this supermodel or whatever. She's not even attractive, but she's always out there pushing this Hollywood elitism, and she's tied in with this network. And I'm glad that she's under attack. I'm glad she's being called out for if you want to do a little activism, she wants to be the queen of the cancel culture. Well, let's cancel her. There's one thing you can do. And she's feeling that pressure right now. Why don't we create a larger cancel culture? If they want to cancel culture, then let's start canceling them.
Well, and that's just it. We need to be ready to stand up.
But I don't believe in a cancel culture. I mean, this is America, damn it. I mean, you should be able to say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You know, I mean, FCC regulations, I understand on the air, but you should be able to say whatever you want to say, and that's your opinion, and, you know, but to... there you go. But to be part of this... this whole communistic phase that we're going through where you're canceled. I mean, this writer for Tucker Carlson, we don't even know if he said the things that he's accused of saying. He was just writing on a blog post, a comment post where people were saying other things, were saying the things that he's accused of. We don't even know if he said any of those things, but he's just lost his job. Yeah. You know, I mean, his top writer, Tucker's top writer.
Well,
you know,
and with that in mind, we do need to have you back on sometime to talk about media, all that kind of stuff, and to know that media played a part in this. Media played a part implicitly in the cover up of Jeffrey Epstein and his cohorts.
I love the idea of the Fourth Estate having power. And that the more people that get out there and use the Fourth Estate to the benefit of humanity rather than to the benefit of anti-humanity, the better. So I just want people to know that, you know, when you hear people like, say, an Alex Jones say, you know, you do your own channel, get your own podcast, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not just something to make you a celebrity or whatever. You're fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
And the Fourth Estate, you know, they called it that since 1787 when they brought the reporters into the parliament from this book. They said that the Fourth Estate, we realize now that the Fourth Estate, which is the media, was more powerful than all of the three other estates combined. And that's the truth. So it's not easy, but pick a subject, pick something that you see truth in, and go after it. Do a report on it, put it on YouTube, put it wherever, you know, put it on BitChute, put it on wherever you can.
And
but the more people that do that, the better.
John, with that in mind, that's a perfect rollout, my friend. Let everybody know where they can go to find your work. Let everybody know where they can go to find the work of Daily News Collective.
Yeah, dailynewscollective.com, and I'm sorry I've been away for a while. I've been out here in Colorado dealing with some internal issues, but also just kind of taking a little break. But I'm going to be starting my podcast again tomorrow, and I post those on Thursdays. I interview on Wednesday and I post them on Thursdays. So I've got a new podcast coming up on Thursday, and you can find that at dailynewscollective.com. You can also find me at Newsbound at Twitter. And Bound Reports on YouTube, John Bound Politics on YouTube. The name of the podcast is John Bound Politics. And you can find me at band.video under John Bound Reports. So
yeah, you can also find him on the HC Universal Network as well as the Dudes and Beer video page. If you go to dudesandbeer.com, everybody, and go to videos, that is where we have John Bound is right up top there, keeps you in touch with all of our guests and their video channels, So hop on by, check that out, subscribe to all of our guests, everyone. John, please do hold the line while we close things out. While you're online checking out dudesandbeer.com, downloading your copy of the Little Black Book, everything else from the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault, make sure to stop on by podcastcadet.com, everybody. That is our sponsor. I am one of the owners at Podcast Cadet, all openness and disclosure there. But we specialize in one-on-one podcast services. We are there to help you build a show, hone a show. Doesn't matter if you have one. Doesn't matter if you're starting one. We hook you up one-on-one with professionals in the industry to get you the help that you need. So stop on by today. Use the code DUDES20 to check out everything there and get 20% off your cart. We are going to be having some great guests coming up. We have a very secretive project that we are working on right now. Everything is under wraps, but very, very proud to make an announcement coming up, hopefully here in the next month, everyone, about a fantastic side project of Dudes and Beer and the HC Universal Network that will really kind of be bringing the message of a lot of our guests into a whole new realm and into a whole new space. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much always for tuning in, everybody. We are going to go out with the brilliance that is Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
And no Secret Service, but the feds know who flew. That's why he didn't kill himself. Jeffrey Epstein 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 didn't kill himself.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.